I want to read to you from the Word of God in Luke chapter 15. This is probably one of the most familiar gospel portions of Scripture in the whole Bible. I remember once I went to Chicago and I preached at the Pacific Garden Mission. And the Pacific Garden Mission used to be a huge place that had meetings for men who lived on the street, men who had problems with liquor and so on. And they would come there, scores of them, to hear the Word of God. But there was a sign at the back of the church. You know, when you stand up to preach, there's a sign at the back which says, "Please don't preach on the prodigal son." Because everybody that went there, they said, "Oh, these guys are prodigals." And they'd all preach on the prodigal son. So I guess they got to know it very well. Well, I get the Lord touches my heart what to speak about. And this week he's been stirring my heart in this Luke chapter 15. This is a story actually told by Jesus. Let me read it to you. Luke chapter 15. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And then he told a story about a woman who had a coin and she lost it, and she kept searching until she found it. And he went on to tell us about a certain man who had two sons, in verse 11, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods which falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither a fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and he was found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard the music and the dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which was devoured your living with harlots, and you have killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. May God speak to us from his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the tremendous things that Jesus said. We thank you so much. There's so much of the heart of God, these things. There's so much, Heavenly Father, that tells us about ourselves. We thank you that you show us in here how much you love and you care for the prodigal. We come before you today and ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we're all different, and we all have varying areas of need, but we all need more of you. And every one of us, we need to have a compassionate heart like this Father. And we humbly pray that you would move upon our hearts and upon our lives. We ask you, Lord, for visitors, that you would bless them, help them to feel wanted by thee. And Heavenly Father, we ask for that anointing of the Holy Spirit to magnify Jesus Christ, to, Lord, touch our hearts as we listen, and to anoint the heart and the lips of the speaker, that you may be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, these scribes and Pharisees, they were always attacking Jesus. The Pharisees were those custodians of the law. They kept the Judean law. They had the Ten Commandments. They were very religious. Some of them would wear wore long clothes. And they were always praying, especially in public. They loved people to see them praying. They were men of deep pride. They were men who had a religion. And they believed that everybody else was wrong except them. And these publicans would constantly attack Jesus. For example, one time his disciples had something to eat without washing their hands. And they said to Jesus, your disciples eat without clean hands. And he explained to them that they eat with a dirty heart. He explained to them how man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So we've got really two kinds of men here at this time talking to Jesus. We've got those who keep the law and those that are called sinners here that couldn't care less about the law. They couldn't care about God's law. They were not interested. And this parable is for them. Now we can't, of course, go through everything, but this one story that Jesus told has got three stories inside it. He told about the sheep that was lost, the coin that was lost, and the son that was lost. And in here we see something of the heart of God. We see the way God treats sinners. We see what God thinks of us. But the real purpose of this parable was to show these Pharisees that God loves people, that God is interested in the lost. It is very clear, lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. One son was lost in the far country. The other son was lost in the house. Just as the sheep was out in the wilderness, this young man was out in the wilderness. Just as the coin was in the house, the elder brother was in the house. And this is what happened at that time. You can see that Jesus has been given a title. This man receives sinners. Now in this world of sin and darkness, can you think of a better title than that? What an honor. This man receives sinners. What a great thing to say about Jesus Christ. They said it with a sneer. They said it to try and put him down. But here is a truth that's all through the New Testament. This man receives sinners. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said, you come to me and I'll give you rest. Jesus said, you take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. They that follow me shall not walk in darkness. Jesus said, I am the door. That is, I'm the door to heaven. If any man enters in, he shall be saved. Now the place for the doctor is with the sick. That's where the doctor should be. And the place for the shepherd is with the sheep. And the place for sinners is Jesus being there as a Savior. That's the place for the Savior, to be with sinners. Now look at this sheep just quickly. This sheep that was lost, it didn't know where it was. It certainly didn't know the way back. There were no signposts. And sometimes your life can do that to you. You can keep walking away, until finally, if you would tell the truth about your own heart, you don't know where you are, you don't know what you're doing, and you sure don't know the way back. You don't know how to stop this. The coin, it's out of circulation. It's no use to anybody, lying in the dust of the house. The sheep's out on the wilderness, the coin is lost in the house. But this young brother, this youngest son, the brother of the older brother, there's something peculiar about him, which I want to share with you today. Because really what I've been trying to do this week is concentrate on the character of the people in this story. If we looked at the character of the scribes and the Pharisees, they think only of themselves. They think their religion is better than everybody else. They think they're more holy than anybody else. They look down their holy noses at everybody else. These sinners don't care what people think about them. They don't care. And then there's Jesus. Who is Jesus? Why is he here? What is there about this man that attracts so much criticism? What is there about this man that makes every man feel he's got to say something about him? What is there about Jesus Christ that you cannot ignore? You can't ignore him. He's here among us, and you can't ignore his presence. You can't ignore it in your heart. You can tell your heart to stop listening. You can tell your heart not to take any notice. But there's something about Jesus Christ that makes us feel drawn to him. Even when we're sinners, we feel drawn to him. There's something about him that is different to any other person. Now, in the case of the young man that went astray, this is what happened to him. He said to his father, give me the goods, the inheritance that belongs to me. Give me my portion. Now I want to just share a few thoughts about this young man, because the element of his life, he was full of rebellion. He was full of revolt. He was very self-centered. Last week, as you said, I preached on looking unto Jesus, and I left one of the main points out of the message, And that main point was, we have to turn from our selfishness. We have to turn from our selfishness. I would define a selfish person as their world being so small that the world revolves around them. It's all about them. It's all what they want. It's all what they think. And that's what happened with this young man. Give me. Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now, what does the selfish person do? The selfish person takes without thinking of the consequence on the person they're taking from. He told his father, divide your living with me. Divide your living with me. So his father's meant to take half his living and give it to this young man because he says, give me. He has to take it. He wants to take it because the hallmark of his life is selfishness. Another mark I'd mention about selfishness is that it does not think of what consequence there's going to be on the lives of other people because of their selfishness. They don't think about that. They only think about gratifying their heart. They only think of what's best for them. They suffer from a disease called me-itis. So he, were not many days, notice that, after this, he gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. This young man's selfishness took him into a far country. He wanted to get as far away from his family as he could get. He was not satisfied anymore to be with those who loved him. He wanted to strike out into the world on his own. And he went, and he took his father's reputation and his mother's heart with him. This scripture doesn't tell us anything about a mother. And mainly because in this scriptures, there are so many depths in this chapter. The Lord Jesus is talking about himself as the shepherd of the sheep. He's talking about the Holy Spirit as the one who searches in the house. And he's talking about the love of the Father, God Almighty. As you see this man, God, represented here in this story by Jesus, running after his son. So while he's there, he wasted his substance with riotous living. Another mark of his selfishness. Now he's happy because he answers to nobody. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's the often quoted word of the teenager, isn't it? How many young people have said to them, I'm sick of you telling me what to do. I'll have my way. And so what he does, he goes out into the far country, and the Bible says that a child left to himself is a shame to his mother. Which of us can handle the kind of person that we are on our own? Why do you think God put us in families? Why do you think God put us in societies? Why do you think God put us in a church? It's because we can't make it on our own. We can't do it on our own. And the loneliest thing in this world, and I have felt that, I know exactly what it feels like, because I was almost 21 before I came to Christ. For 20 years I lived my own life. For 20 years I did what I wanted. And I had left home. I came from a farm up north. I had left home. I'd spent a lot of my life in a home for crippled children. But I'm back on that farm. And I left home. I did not know where I was going to sleep when I got to Auckland. I didn't have the faintest idea where I was going to get a job. I'd never had a job before. I did not know what I was doing, but I knew one thing. I wanted to get away. I wanted to get away. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. I answer to nobody. Now I'm unrestrained. And he wasted his substance with riotous living. And he spent all. He spent all. Everything he spent it. Do you know why? Because the selfish heart is a bottomless pit. It's a bottomless pit. You will never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. Because that's what the heart is like. That's what happened to this young man. Now, oh, he had friends while he had money. But now he's got no friends. He's got no family. He's got no friends. So he who would not be joined to his own father and mother, he who would not take their counsel and advice, now joins himself to a citizen of that country. And this is a Jew joining himself to some heathen man. Now the citizen of that country, what he said was, well, here's a good opportunity to get those pigs fed. I've been looking for somebody to look after them, and he sent him to mind the pigs and take them to be fed and so forth and so on. So the young man who had a loving father now ends up feeding the pigs. And the scriptures, Jesus is clear. He said nobody gave him anything. So he not only had to feed the pigs, he had no food. So he began to eat the same food as the pigs. Friends, if you go down those paths of sin, the thing you would never do once, you will do. The thing you said you would never do, you will do it. Because your heart has deceived you in making the original decision, give me. To the point where now you've got what you want, you've done everything you wanted to do, and now you're in a pigsty eating pig's food. And that's where you are. No friends. You might have been a drinker who becomes a drunkard. You may be taking drugs and you become an addict. You may go around sleeping with who you like and you live a lascivious life and you may get AIDS. You don't know what's going to happen to you, but on that path there is no end. There is no end. What is going to happen to him? Let me ask you a question. Who would want this man? Who wants him? No money, no friends, dirty, filthy, with the pigs. At night you don't know which is a pig and which is him. Just lying among them to keep warm. Who wants him? Who would have him? Something happened in his heart. I've been thinking, what did that man think about in the pigsty? What was he thinking about? I'll tell you some of the things he thought about. I can remember the music and the dancing in my father's house. I can remember sitting by the fire and my father telling us all the jokes we've already heard 20 times before and we all laugh. I can remember that. I can remember the warmth of my mother just bustling around and getting food and saying, why don't you eat this? It's nice. And looking after me. Oh, he thought about that. He really did. You believe me. He thought about that. Because the selfish heart will take you to the place where in the end you will look away from it. you will see that this is not good enough, this is not right. And the wages of sin is death. And you see that and you know that. Now, if you were in this condition, what would you do? What would happen to you? Do you think that no man cares for your soul? Do you think that nobody cares if you live or die? Tomorrow you get hit by a bus and they bury you in Waikamete Cemetery, just taking up some more ground. Do you think that's all there is to you? Something happened in his heart. This is what he said in his heart. I will arise. I'll get up. And I'll go to my father's house. I will go back and will say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. He was not worthy before he left home. He didn't know what he had. You young people, listen to me. You better look at your family, because you don't know what you've got until you lose it. Don't take it for granted. How precious it is. How wonderful it is what God has done for you. If you have a warm bed, warm-hearted parents, love all around you. This man remembered all that. I'll say to him, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know what he was saying? I don't care. If I just sit out there in the shed and I just get some food, I don't care as long as I'm home. As long as I'm home. I don't care what I do when I get there. I don't care what my father tells me to do. I'll tell him, it is a privilege to be one of your servants. I never thought it was a privilege to be your son, but I can see your servants are privileged. Your servants are privileged. So what did he do? He said, I will arise. And I will say, I'm not worthy, I have sinned. And the way back to God, the way back from this path, is the way the Bible calls repentance. And that literally means here, it literally means here that first you've got to come to yourself. You've got to look at your own heart, your own life. Do you want to be like this? Is this the way you want things to be? Be honest. Go back. Go back into your mind. Go back into your history when you were a 10-year-old boy or a 10-year-old girl. Did you honestly plan where you are today? Did you believe, if you could think about it at that time, that you would be what you are today? Of course not. You're not that foolish. You must look back and see what you may have been, but you were not. Life got hold of you somehow, and it dealt you many a terrible hand, and you felt you had to play it out. But now it's brought you to a place which only God can deliver you from. There is a road back from where you are. But you have to go down that road. At the end of that road, you will find God. You will find God. You know, dear friends, Jesus told this story. He told the story of a son that came home from the far country, and his father received him. But you know what? Jesus was in the far country when he told the story. Jesus didn't stay in heaven and wait for people to come back. He came down to this earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's plan. And Jesus Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary, bearing our sin. The Bible says he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. Have you done that? And God Almighty laid our sin on his Son at the cross. We do not understand it, but we know it's true. We have experienced it. The young brother, when he was praying at the communion table, did he not say, God, Lord, it's wonderful, it's good to be clean? Are you clean? Is your heart clean? You've got to come to yourself. And then he remembered his Father, and you must remember the mercy of God. God is merciful, not willing that any should perish. There's something else, I believe, that was in this young man's heart. He knew he was always welcome at home. He was always welcome at home. Didn't matter what he'd done, he knew he was welcome at home. And our home should be like that. Where our children, however badly they sin, how far they go away from God and us, the door should always be open for them. The door should always be, because they are our children. We are the custodians of their souls. And the door should be open. And this young man knew his Father would receive him home. He knew there was a place for him at home. Now, you may not have that today. Maybe your home is gone. Maybe so many things have happened and there's no home. Well, you are welcome in the heart of God. You are welcome in God's home. You are welcome. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And as we were talking earlier in the service, it's not a matter of being wealthy and having all these things around us, because somebody else is going to sleep in your bed, someone else is going to drive your car, someone else is going to live in your house, you're going to leave everything. Just you are going to go out and meet God. Just you. No, nothing else. Nobody else. Just you. And so, this young man, what did he do? He turned away from the world he was in, didn't he? He didn't want it anymore. He turned away from it. He turned and he went back to his father. Let's quickly have a look at what happened when he came to his father. He came to his father, and when he saw him, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. How did the father see him when he was so far away? He'd been looking for him. He'd been longing for him. Often, he would be out on the porch or out under that tree looking at the far horizon, looking for his son, because he had a heart of great love. And his father saw him and had compassion on him. The father's heart broke. The father's heart stretched out to his son. There was something in the father's heart. And friends, I do not understand this. It is beyond me how I can understand how God loves us so much that he would allow his son, Jesus Christ, to suffer for our sins. How could he do it? As I said last week, I think that God has an incredible ability to look past his son to the sinner and save the sinner. And that's what happened here. His father had compassion and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now remember, I told you that this was a story about what God is like. what the Father is like, what the Son is like. The Son is the shepherd. The Holy Spirit is the searcher in the house. The Father, He's running. He's running. The Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. I quoted the text where Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? No answer. The Father said nothing. You and I are the reason why He was forsaken at that time. Because He was bearing our sin in His own body on the tree. You see, you have to do this. You have to come towards the Father. You have to say, I will arise and go to my Father. And I'll tell Him I've sinned. Of course you've sinned. We're all sinners. Some more than others maybe, but we're all sinners. We're all selfish too in many ways. But we need to come to the Father. As Jesus told this story, He ran and he kissed him. Didn't ask him to get cleaned up first. There's a hymn that we have sung in hundreds of meetings. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And to put it in even more plain English, just as I am, just like I am today, not puffed up, not changed, not washed, not cleansed, just as I am, I come to you. I don't have anything to say. My mouth is shut. I don't have any plea. I can't say to you, well, don't forget I did this. Don't forget I did that. Don't forget, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just coming to you who shed your blood for me. You want me to come to you, and Lamb of God, I come. That's what happened to this young man. Oh, he said, I've sinned. Not worthy to be called my son. You know what the Father did? The Father put His hand on his mouth and stopped him from talking. Stopped him from talking. He said to the servants, bring me the best robe. Not a robe, the best robe. Bring the ring of sonship. You may be the filthiest person in this city, but I can promise you that God can make you so clean and so pure that He can put the best robe on you. The best. That's what He can do. You say, I'm nothing. Of course you're nothing. Jesus will make something out of nothing. He made the world out of nothing. And He can make something out of you. You say, but you don't know how sinful I am. You don't know how wicked my life has been. The Bible says that the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. And God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In another place He says, I will cast their sins into the depths of the sea. And a woman called Corrie ten Boom used to say, and He will put up a sign, no fishing allowed. Nobody wants to fish. Your sins have been forgiven. They've been cleansed. They've been taken away because of what Christ did. So this brother, this younger brother, is coming home. And he's got the best robe, and they kill a fatted calf. His elder brother was in the house, and he was angry because he considered that he didn't do anything wrong. But you know what? He was selfish at home. Listen, I was thinking about this morning. This old man has been looking for his son for years. Years. Finally, he's come home. And he's so happy. They make a feast. They make dancing, music, all these things. And the other brother, all he does is think about himself. Are you like that? Where if somebody does something for somebody else, you take it as a slight upon you. As if they're doing it against you. They don't care about you. Is that what you're like? That kind of person in your heart, like this elder brother? There's plenty of them around. This elder brother. And he says, he took your living, he said to the father, and devoured it with harlots. Now, this is the first time anybody mentioned harlots. How did he know that his brother was spending money on prostitutes? How did he know? Why didn't he go and rescue him? Why didn't he do something? How come he knows this information? I'll tell you what, he's got a dirty mind. I'll tell you how I know, because it's still in his heart, and he's using it against his brother. He doesn't say to God, he doesn't say to his father, well, now he's come home, I guess he's turned away from all that. He was angry, and he would not go in. Now look at this. The father's in the feast, enjoying the company of his son. He looks around, his other son's not there, so he leaves the party and goes to get his son. What about that? What about that? This man wants all his family home. Not this elder brother. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he says, "This these many years, I know, we won't go into it all. As soon as your brother, your son, as soon as this thy son has come, which has devoured his living, your living with harlots, you've killed for him the fatted calf. Son," he said, "you're ever mine, and all that I have is yours." You know what this elder brother was saying? He was saying, you may call him son, but I will never call him brother. He's your son, but he's not my brother. I think we ought to accept those that God accepts. I think we ought to be kind and loving, well, towards all people, but especially those who are like this prodigal son. So don't forget, the father who suffered because of the selfishness of his youngest son is still suffering because of the selfishness of his older son. He's just only, this oldest brother is thinking about himself. Why doesn't he humble himself? And why doesn't he say in his heart, well, I find it difficult to accept this man, but for my father's sake, for my father's sake, I will go and I will welcome him for my father's sake. It is a great hallmark of the selfish that they will not do anything for someone else's sake. It's for their sake. It's for them. It's their program, their will, what they want. Now, Jesus told this amazing story to illustrate the love of God, to illustrate the persistence of the son as the shepherd. This one went away, and he, the shepherd, went after it until he found it. Until he found it. And I don't care today how far away from God you are, but I'm telling you, God is after you. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to come into your life and he wants to make you a child of God. That's what he wants to do. He wants to forgive your sin. He wants to clean up your life. But he can't do it until you say, I have sinned. Until you say, you admit what you are, I'm a sinner. Until you admit you're a sinner, you will not get the Savior's ear. You may have the Savior's heart,
but you won't get his ear. Until you admit that you're a sinner. Until you see your need of him. And that's what happened here. This young man in the pigsty. I preached on this before, and I think I said this. He came to his father. He came to a far country. He came to nothing. He came to a pigsty, and then he came to himself. What's this all about? What have I done? Why am I like this? I'm not a pig. I'm a man. I'm a woman. And he came to him. I will arise and go to my father. That's what you have to say. I'm going to seek God until I find him. I'm going to walk down this path until God and I meet. I want to feel his arms of love around my neck. I want his kiss on my cheek. That's what I want. You can have it. You can have it, because the master who told this story, even Jesus, didn't just tell stories. He went to the cross of Calvary to make it all possible. He died on the cross to make it all possible. And he rose again the third day from the dead to show all heaven, all eternity, all men and women on the earth that God accepted this sacrifice. God accepted it. He's the perfect Savior. He's the only Savior. He's the Son of God. He can be your Savior if he's not already. But if he is your Savior, look for the younger brother. Love the Father. Don't just think about yourself. Think about others. Be like your Father. This boy, this elder brother, was not like his father. How terrible is that? How sad is that? Today, if God has spoken to your heart, follow it up. Do something about it. If you don't know what to say, say, I will arise. And say that I've sinned. That's what I'm going to do. God will hear you. God will help you. That's his love for you. That's his love. I cannot help thinking. This boy is lying in the pigsty. He smells like a pig. He almost looks like one. And he's just lying there. And he feels so defeated, so empty, so depressed, so lacking in self-esteem. And then he gets a thought in his heart. My Father loves me. My Father loves me. I know my Father loves me. And you know all the rest what happened. Do you know that God loves you? The night I came to Christ, a long time ago, the woman that told me about Christ, she said this, God loves you. And I still remember what I said to her. I said, if God loves me, then he's the only one in this world that does. He's the only one in this world that does. Now that's how I was at that time. That's how I felt at that time. But God's love outlasts everybody else's love. It's eternal. And he will love you to the cross. And he'll love you to heaven. Amen.